Previously on Time to Lean and Here's a Song. Oh,
good. I wonder if we're going to be able to keep any of this tonight. I don't know where we were at. I'm so discombobulated.
We probably have enough if you want to cut it off here. You introduced yourself.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Well,
it's homogenized and
synthesized
and hyperthermolated
and gluten-free. The sketch of last resort. You can just put it together and let the audience figure it out. Phil, it's been fun.
It's been that, something.
That's what this is all about. As long as we're having fun, who gives a shit?
All right, John. You know, we joke about editing, but I don't cut out half the things we say we're going to edit.
Well, that's kind of the joke.
Okay, I'll cut that part out. We do have overlaps in our interests, but we are kind of different, which is fine.
Totally different, yeah.
Yeah.
Phil likes nature documentaries, and I prefer The West Wing.
Oh, that's another inside joke.
I'm sorry.
John kept trying to get me to watch The West Wing, and I never watched it. I think
no,
I watched one.
At some point, it became the, well, they keep telling me to watch these things, and no, I don't want to.
Well, there was more to it. For some reason with The West Wing, I have a problem with commitment, not in marriage, but with with television shows.
That's why you should watch movies. They're over in 2 hours.
Was there a West Wing movie?
Actually, there is a West Wing movie.
What?
It's called The American President. It has...
Really?
Yeah. It's written by the same person. It's a lot like The West Wing.
Sorkin or whatever?
Yeah, it's Aaron Sorkin. It stars Michael Douglas and... I want to say...
Annette Bening?
No.
Sigourney Weaver?
Yes.
Wrong. It's Annette Bening.
Really?
Yeah,
she's great.
I think
I like Sigourney Weaver. No, that can't be right. She was an alien.
You could watch The American President and get a good piece of what The West Wing was like because it has the same kind of style.
Maybe I'll watch that instead, because
you're done in 2 hours instead of
7,000 hours, like this episode. No.
I think watching The West Wing now would make you kind of depressed.
Well,
based on our current politics.
Well,
because even the Republicans are pretty good in that show.
Another thing with beer, but I've also seen this kind of cloudy, I don't know if it's unfiltered or something. I wonder if that's going to be a big trend. So maybe it already is, and I'm just late to the scene. I like it. It adds a different flavor. It looks different. You know, it's just kind of cloudy.
Well, that's a thing in whiskey, you know, where they have chill filtering. You heard of that
right.
term?
A little.
Phil has heard nothing about chilled filtering.
And one thing that when they chill filter, they make the whiskey come out less cloudy looking.
Oh.
Yeah, so it looks more pure or something like that. But it, you know... According to experts, it's also something that tends to filter out some of the flavor.
Sure.
So
maybe they're getting into that with beer now.
Yeah, I have a feeling that applies to beer as well, because it's considered a kind of a craft or better thing to do if your whiskey is unchill filtered.
Oh, all right.
Have I ever told you I once ate at Dick's Last Resort?
Is that in Chicago?
No, it's at the fucking Mall of America.
The Mall of America may cause rashes, chronic diarrhea, and impotence.
Oh, see, I think it's a chain. It must be a chain.
Oh, it's a chain, yeah.
No, in college, we went to a theater tour in Chicago, and we ate at Dick's Last Resort. It was a blues.
It was really? It was that old, huh?
I guess. I think that's what it was called.
Okay, it might be the same thing.
Yeah, but yeah, when they had this, the music was really good, though. Is the waitstaff kind of rude and stuff?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. That's the shtick.
Okay, same thing.
Yeah, they're kind of surly. Speaking of beer. And Yeah, they say funny things, and they make you wear these like dunce caps made out of paper, and they'll write rude things on it. And
oh, that sounds like high school.
Yeah, I got to give them a little credit. Probably the staff there have to work pretty hard. So,
well, they're having. I just got the biggest kick out of that.
It was kind of funny for a little while, and then it felt really contrived.
Well, when I was a little South Dakota kid going to the big city in Chicago, and it probably
seemed really cool.
I got a big kick out of it, but the music, I was like, oh my god, they had
this one didn't have music. Maybe that was different.
They had this old blues guy and from the Delta somewhere. I mean, an authentic blues guy, and it was so good. Oh, good. We normally just talk about booze.
Booze and
women.
And song. No, not without the songs.
and
but it's in the title. Really many. Here's women. The song.
Well, we don't talk about music. We just tack one
you
on
see,
it,
you,
in at the
you,
end.
Listening to this podcast is like hanging out at the bar with Phil and John, but you don't have to smell them.
Right. And we've never been to a bar together, hardly.
Well, we don't get out much.
Well, we run in different circles.
Wait until... Well, that's because you live in St. Paul.
No, we have been at the bar together, but you're performing or something usually. I'm just in the audience.
That's true. I'm at the bar.
John is a very versatile bass player.
I'm sorry, Sean, if you're listening to this.
We do that quite a bit. And that's another
it's
inside
joke.
It's
out of love, though.
No, it is. It's kind of an inside joke, though. So that voice is referencing our friend Sean, basically.
Yeah.
In a loving way.
Sean and his lovely wife were at my orchestra concert last weekend.
Well, good old Sean.
I went to the liquor store today and bought some Hendrix gin.
That's got a little cucumber flavor.
Does it?
No.
I haven't had it in a long time. I don't remember.
I think so. Well,
my sister Megan is coming to visit, so I know she likes it.
Well, you can report back to me later, but I think it has a little hint of
it's
cucumber.
It's Scottish gin, bringing us back to Scotch Bye.
Scotch Bye, Scottish gin.
Scotch Bye, Scotch. Scotch Bye, gin. And now you know.
One 130 years later, John and Phil awakened to find themselves in the woods. It is there that they encounter the ghosts of Don Pardo and Boutros Ghoulie.
Everything's better with a beat. I'm Joe Beats. What chance does that returning deceased war veteran have for that free mule you've been dreaming of?
Look at those deceased war veterans. They're ready.
They're ready. I'm mixing them up here.
Oh, we can't put that on there. It was just Memorial Day.
Oh, that's really in bad taste, isn't it?
Too soon. It's always too soon to make fun of deceased war veterans. They're deceased war veterans?
That's the funny part. It says, what chance do those returning deceased war veterans have for that free mule you've been dreaming of?
God, they had so many good lines.
I love it. We're referring, of course, to the Fire Sign Theater. Not Fireside, as often people mistake it for.
Well, and autocorrect.
Autocorrect's a bitch, yeah.
He's back, boys and girls. Speaking of boys and girls, we have a couple of new listeners. Do we want to talk about that?
I think that's a great idea. Phil, bring us up to speed.
Ah, speaking of speed, we're not drinking tonight. We're all on trucker drugs. No. So, have you ever been to a truck stop, John?
Because we've got a little convoy rocking through the night.
I've been to a few. Okay, that sounds like a loaded question.
Well, let's not talk about truck stops. So I do have a truck stop story, but not right now. So we have a couple of comments. So we started a Facebook page, Time to Lean, and Here's the Song, and got some more likes. Now it's not just friends that listening. Now it's friends of friends of friends. So we're
oh my spread- God.
We're going viral. I think we have 7 people listening now. Okay, so Christine L. from Brookings, South Dakota says, this is so far, in parentheses, very enjoyable. You know, everybody's got to do some kind of
it's
qualifier.
Still that low expectations. we'll show them.
So far. But yeah, it could go really bad.
This is the episode where it goes off the rails.
Oh, no. Well, we...
What are we doing on a rail anyway? I don't know.
The third rail. Then she says, I think it's really funny. I'm chuckling to myself here at work. It's okay. My coworkers already think I'm crazy.
Well, I admire your courage.
It's good to laugh. Susan T.A. in Rosemount says, Minnesota, sorry, says, great show. I kind of felt like I was right there. LOL.
Well, I do take that as a compliment because of our classy style and production value. Everything's better with a beat. Everything's better with a beat. Everything's better with a beat.
Yeah, well, we got some new comments. I mean, I have met Susan before. This isn't. So there is a connection there. So, you know, connections, maybe they'll talk to people and their people will call our people and, you know, that old line.
And so on and so on, just like the old TV commercial. You remember that one? And so on and so on and so on.
Now, see, I'm thinking of the one with that has nothing to do with that. The old commercials. Let's talk about those. I remember the one that the paper chase guy, I don't remember his name. It was an investment commercial or something. I think he said, "You're soaking in it." No, that wasn't it.
Getting confused here. Yeah, you know what the funny part about the and so on thing? I can't think of what the product was that advertisement was for. So now, kind of a failure in that way, I guess. But
it was very memorable, but not in the sense of the product.
It's no Calgon, take me away.
Or the ancient Chinese secret.
That one still kind of stuck in my head.
Well, yeah, you can't do that anymore. But then the... no. And then the... the Squeeze the Charmin guy.
Mr. Whipple.
That was kind of creepy.
Yeah, I suppose. What,
wasn't it? I suppose everything looks creepy when you look back at it.
Okay, so Phil, I'm going to give you some homework for next time. Go on YouTube and watch examples of all these ads, and we'll report back.
Well, of course, the McDonald's. We talked about McDonald's Band and Ronald McDonald in the last time. And of course, the Shamrock Shakes. And then what was the...
we did not talk about Shamrock Shakes.
No, we didn't.
Because we could have a mini topic about that, believe me.
I'm transitioning badly, but so anyway, there was that ad for Shamrock Shakes, and what was the name of? I know you always associated with Grimace or something. You played him in one of your tapes, but what was the Irish?
I don't think Shamrock Shakes and Grimace were ever connected, as far as I knew.
No, there was an Irish Grimace. There was like Grimace had a cousin. Or something from Ireland. Seamus O'Shea.
Oh, I missed that completely. No. Okay. I think, are you sure?
Yeah.
You're not making this up?
No, that's on YouTube.
Okay. I will make sure and go watch that.
I'm somewhat disappointed that you've never seen that one.
I cannot think of any Shamrock Shake ads.
Oh. Well, this one, I believe, had a green Grimace guy that with one of those... leprechaun hats or whatever.
What's scarier, the purple Grimace or the green one? They're both pretty fucking scary.
Well, what? I guess I'm glad they don't have genitalia, but what? Or maybe it's underneath there somehow.
He's kind of goofy for McDonald's, like, you know. We don't really know what Goofy is, and really don't know what Grimace is.
Well, Goofy, yeah. Goofy was a dog, but he talked. And Pluto was a dog, but didn't talk.
Yeah.
I think, I guess Goofy was a hybrid.
The whole Goofy thing, of course, some of you might be thinking of the famous scene in the movie Stand By Me, where the kids sit around a fire and debate this exact topic.
I was about ready to re-debate that with you, and because I didn't remember that from the movie.
That's usually what I think of, because I remember seeing it at the time thinking, wow, you know, they have a good point.
Now, they were on the rails for a while.
They were on the rails, yes. Brings us back to something we should be done with.
That was based on a Stephen King short story?
I believe so, or it was a... our good friend Eric, I'm sure, would correct us. It's I think, in a larger book with a number of short story segments in it or something like that.
All right.
So, it's called The Body, I think is the name of the story.
Oh, I think you're right.
So, I think still considered to be a good movie. I have not seen it in many years, and it's kind of on my mental list of movies to go back and revisit.
Yeah, I think I should too. I mean, that's not... I wonder if it holds up. It's probably sort of timeless. And it's funnier than Spinal Tap.
No. Well, not that everybody loves Spinal Tap.
I liked when all the heavy metal guys got together there by the railroad. That was good. He always has a railroad in Rob Reiner movies. Hey, did you know that Rob Reiner played Meathead on All the Family?
Oh, really?
Hey, that sounded almost like Goofy. Oral.
Oh, Goofy. Yeah.
Oh, hi there, Goofy. Let's go have some gin.
Yeah, speaking of that, what are you drinking tonight, Phil?
Same thing.
Oh, you're still on the gimlets? the lime-leaning Ricky or whatever it is?
On the Facebook page, there's a recipe now for the time to lime.
Refresh me again on this. It's lime juice and gin and maybe club soda?
Lime juice and gin and club soda. And you can kind of figure it out how you want it. But I posted an approximation of what I typically do. Part of the reason I did that was because I can't pronounce this gimlet. But I've been mispronouncing it for months. Anyway, or maybe my whole life. But I used to say elevator, so that was a different thing.
You did. You did on one of our tapes, actually. I'll be your elevator this evening.
I said elevator and elephant. And I said axe.
Axe instead of ask?
Right. Okay. Axe me. Axe me, clerical union. No, that's not. And then sometimes I would say Mount Rushmore.
My dad had a version of that with the R's reversed or something like that. Rush Roar or something like that. He had fake names or fake pronunciations for many common things.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah. That was his gig. We were watching Star Trek The Next Generation at your house in the living room there, and your mom and he, that might not be proper grammar, but whatever, came back from somewhere and what is that guy doing with a turtle on his head?
Or the other, that, and he referred to Dr. Crusher as Dr. Smasher.
Now that would have been a better name.
Yeah.
Dr. Boy, Smasher. She could really smash my atoms.
Smasher, I hardly even know her.
Maybe she could be like the She-Hulk. She's like a doctor in Star Trek that gets really mad and turns green and gets really strong. Maybe Disney will buy Star Trek and then they can have a Marvel, Disney, Star Wars, Star Trek mashup.
Speaking of Marvel, I think you said you went and saw the Avengers movie recently.
I did. Now that's Infinity War or Infinity Complex or what was it called?
Avengers Infinity War. They should have put a part one in it too.
Oh, you think there's going to be a part two?
Well, there's another Avengers movie, and it seems pretty obvious that they're going to resolve the situation and bring all these guys back.
Well, yeah, I mean, my my kids, well, me too, but, you know, it's like, oh, wow, that's pretty heavy. But, you know, like I said, I haven't read a lot of comic books, but I was like, there's other universes, you know, and they'll just start a new one or something. Or,
well, the problem is that even if you don't know anything about the comics, which I don't, the problem is that you, well, first of all, it's basically a magic thing that they can change. And really, there are multiple characters that have movies already in production. So there's a Spider-Man movie and several other ones that actually were killed off.
Well, the way I think of it, though, is there are different timelines, kind of. So in this timeline, 50% of the superheroes are gone. Mm-hmm. But
actually, they did. You know, Thanos is right. They really had too many.
Sorry. Somehow they made him kind of sympathetic. That goes back to one of our old tapes, the Logic of Violence is showing. So,
mm-hmm. This is all mostly going to be undone in the next movie or the next big movie. You know, they have these tentpole ones every so often where they, as they call it, the Marvel Cinematic Universe is moved forward.
Sure.
That's what I think is going to happen. Which basically was, okay, yeah, probably most of these guys are going to be back. And you know, maybe the ones that did not get zapped away into dust will get killed trying to reverse what happened.
Well,
because you might notice that some of the bigger stars were spared this fate. Iron Man, Robert Downey Jr., and some of the who have been at it for a while, Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, people they're in that first wave of superheroes that aren't going to make that many more of them before they reboot those characters.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll get killed off for real.
And then, of course, like Black Panther, which was one of their huge...
And there's already a Black Panther 2 coming out, or you know, in a couple of years.
Well, that... I guess you can't overthink comic movies too much.
No. This is all pretty boring for anybody who's discussed this stuff, but that's I don't take any of it very seriously. The best part really was the two brief things. It had a villain that, while flawed, I think in some ways, was much better developed than most of the other antagonists were.
To be honest, I haven't seen a whole chunk of the Marvel movies.
Well, I was going to ask you if you really knew even know what was going on when you because you haven't seen a lot of them.
I think I've seen enough to figure out. I thought it was really clever. The ones that I had seen, there were little pieces that pointed to other things in upcoming movies. Like I'd seen, the Star-Lord movie. I can't remember the
Guardians
name of the title.
Of the Galaxy.
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. I saw the first one. So in that one, for some reason, the little rat, the bunny, no, the little raccoon guy, for some reason, he gets an eye from some other guy. But then in this Infinity War movie, they found a way to give that to Thor. Now, I don't know if they planned that from...
Oh, I'm pretty sure it was all
eight years ago.
Out.
No, I think that one probably was. But, you know, when you're writing things, sometimes things like that happen where it's like, oh, yeah, he got an eye. Let's put it in here. Mm-hmm. So you never know for sure because the creative process is a little weird, but...
Yeah, I think they are somewhat structured and planned out. They're almost really like a really large TV series, the way that they're plotted.
I think it would have been good if I saw the Civil War one before this one, because they were making references, and I caught up, I think. You know,
And the Civil War one is actually one of the better movies, too, even just by itself.
I tend to gravitate kind of to the funnier ones, I guess, like... My daughter and I went to that one. Yeah,
I like that one quite a bit. Yeah.
I was just I laughed out loud, and of course the Mark Mothersbaugh soundtrack was like a character in itself, which usually a soundtrack guy composer you don't necessarily want it to. I don't know, maybe it depends on the movie, but you don't necessarily want it to stand out quite as much. But it kind of was its own character in the movie, and I just of course I love Mark Mothersbaugh. his stuff. I don't know him personally, and I've never dated him, but I did get to meet him once.
And you might remind our listeners who he is or what he is also well known for.
Well, he was in Devo, but you know, yeah. But also he's done lots of soundtracks.
He is definitely established a big career as a film music composer. So.
And sort of on the eclectic side generally, but he can do pretty straightforward soundtracks also. Now he's pretty versatile. I saw a documentary about him, and he has this like basement with all these old vintage synthesizers, and man, that was fun. I don't know if you're into that. It was on YouTube, I guess. But if you're into synthesizers from like the '70s, the very first synthesizers, you should check that out. But he brings up these weird old things, and some of them he made. Like I got to see one of them. He was at the Art Institute, MIA, Minnesota Institute of Arts. And he had some of his old equipment there as well, most of his art. One of the things was a calculator that he turned into a synthesizer somehow. I wish I could have heard it, but whatever. I don't know. He was really instrumental in the development of early synthesizers. I don't know. Maybe he's up there with any of those guys, really. Like Brian Eno or Gary Newman or whatever. Thomas Dolby.
Science.
She blinded me. So, wow, we're all over the place again.
One could say off the rails, even.
What are you drinking?
Well, let's see. So, tonight, I'm doing lime-based drinks as well.
Well, it's summer.
Tonight, I'm drinking a corn and oil.
I've forgotten what that is.
I was at a party a year or two ago with my musician friends, and
they know how to drink.
And they do know how to drink, but some of them are very big cocktail enthusiasts, and one of the things they were serving was this corn and oil drink.
Which doesn't sound very good.
I remember thinking, "What the hell is this?" And it's an old fashioned kind of it's similar to a daiquiri, a conventional daiquiri in a way.
Okay.
So it's made up of this liqueur that's Barbados, I think, is where it comes from. It's called Velvet Falernum, spelled Falernum.
Which is also the character from Star Trek. No, the Marvel Universe. So
Star Wars. I think it's a rum based liqueur that has it's got some ginger and almond flavors to it. It's very sweet. Right.
So it's rum plus.
Yeah, it's a very sweet liqueur. It's way too sweet to drink on its own.
Oh.
You mix that with a proportion of dark rum.
Yeah, like Blackstrap or something.
I am using Blackstrap for this. There's debate about whether you should do Blackstrap, I think, because it's so heavy. But that's where the oil part of the name comes from.
It looks like oil.
Yeah, this really thick molasses-style rum. And then you combine it with lime juice.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, it is on the sweet side, so I put a little bit more lime juice in than usually is called for, which I like. But it balances out nicely. And
well, you're right. That is like an old kind of daiquiri. Which
it's very, I have sometimes very similar too. Kind of drink. Yeah.
I mean, before I was on the gimlet kick, I was into that. In Florida, maybe they would refer to it as the Hemingway daiquiri, but it basically, like I've said in a different episode, it was, you know, a nice rum, little simple syrup, and some lime juice.
Yeah, variations on a theme. Yeah, I do like it quite a bit, though. Nice summertime drink, definitely. Although that liqueur, though, is hard to find, so that's the one problem with it.
Well, you know, you probably could make your own.
I think there are recipes to make your own, and of course, people. Oh, it's much better if you make yours from scratch.
Oh, it might.
Oh, what a pain!
But yeah,
I mean, the most I will do is make my own simple syrup, just because I'm cheap.
It's so easy to make your own. I think it's like, what is it, like a cup of water and a cup of sugar?
Yeah, it's just a one-to-one. You boil it down.
And you can add things to it. Like I don't know how many summers ago, I was into mint juleps. But I made a mint simple syrup. And I added mint to the boiling water towards the end, and then of course took it out. But I mean, I know that's probably a bastardization too, because you want to muddle it, and so I don't have a muddle yet. I gotta get a muddle. But
you're just a muddler.
Barman versus the muddler in our next episode.
And so I had a mint simple syrup, and some people do, you know, like rosemary simple syrup for a different, you know, you can just put whatever you want in there. Go out there and experiment, folks.
That is the fun part about cocktail making, is all the interesting variations people come up with.
Yeah. Now, we were into Manhattans for a while.
Oh, so, I still am.
Well, no, I
make those at home a lot.
I always go back to those as well. But so, you know, we thought, wow, I'm going to try this little bit better vermouth. And that made a big difference. And then, you know, maybe then you start thinking about, oh, maybe I need to try a little bit better bitters. And then you're like, I can make bitters. And then, you know, it just depends on how far you want to take it.
And that's usually farther than I want to go.
I haven't looked into making bitters yet. One thing I want to learn how to make is limoncello.
Oh, yeah. I know you can make limoncello.
Many years ago, I went through a limoncello kick. That was the first whole summer I would have that.
Orangecello.
Oh, no. Marcello.
Marcello. Marcello. Limoncello Mastroianni.
Drinks like that, you just throw them in the freezer. And I think I put club soda with that or something sometimes. But
yeah, that's a good combo. I did experiment with different kinds of sweet vermouths, and I found some that were really good and interesting, but so if you get too weird, they almost just get distracting from the quality of the brown spirit. For me, it was almost too much.
No, it doesn't seem to make sense in the whole balance things.
I like to be able to taste the whiskey part.
Well, that should be the main focus of a Manhattan, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And like, it's anything, you can make them with lots of different whiskeys and things, but in fact, I think technically you could make one with brandy, which seems way too sweet.
What is a Brandy Alexander?
Oh, I don't know. I forget.
Oh, maybe that's like a old fashioned or something. Some of these drinks they get too sweet for me.
No, I've settled in on generally getting rye whiskey my preferred Manhattan base.
Just nice and spicy.
Well, it's good. It's good. Not as sweet. It complements the sweet vermouth better than bourbon definitely does.
No, but like we said the other time, we were kind of getting into rye Manhattans before there was even, we could even find rye at general places.
Yeah, for a long time, rye used to be out of favor.
Hardly it was just any, that one, old Voldemort.
Well, the old Voldemort. Jim Beam always had a rye.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
I'm quite certain you could always get the basic, as my brother always used to call it, Jimbo. Basic rye, and you know it's really not bad rye.
No, Jim Beam does some good stuff.
Yeah,
especially if you're making a Manhattan or something. If you're just drinking it straight, I don't know. Oh, but you know what's really good is that Fireball whiskey, John. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Or birthday cake flavored vodka.
What?
You go to that liquor store over by campus, and you've never seen so many flavored vodkas in your life.
I guess that's the college thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. These kids, they got to branch out a bit. Well, that's branching out, but in a different way.
To quote It's a Wonderful Life, I make drinks for guys who want to get drunk fast, and I don't want people like you to give the place atmosphere. I might have mangled the quote a little bit, but that was...
I think you should have worked in the...
It's a great quote.
Birthday cake vodka in there somehow. A long time ago, even longer, I had always had like some Absolut in the freezer. That was kind of a Jade Boss thing. And when I used my roommate, and so I got started doing it too. And then you'd put, you know, that and some lemonade or something. That was good.
There's nothing wrong with a basic vodka lemonade. That's refreshing.
Yeah, it's good.
I don't drink vodka very often, though, anymore.
We didn't have air conditioning, so you had to make up for it somehow. No, I don't drink vodka usually. It's not. I start to talk to demons and stuff. It's not necessarily a good thing. No, not the weeping demon.
Yeah.
Time for a time to lean flashback.
Here's the song.
I'm the weeping demon. I live on piss and steaming. You might think you're dreaming, but you're not.
No, you're not.
I'm the weeping demon, my loins are hot and steaming. You might think you're leaving, but you're not. Oh, riding out on the prairie with my friend Dirty Fairy. I'm the weeping demon, I live on fists and semen all day long.